Just a reminder, we are having Bible classes. We're doing so through Zoom, and we're able to do that. Jake will be teaching this evening at 5 p.m., and so we will send out a link once that Zoom class is set up. Brother Eddie Cool is going to teach a teen and college-age class, and I believe they're going to meet out in front of the annex, if it is still good weather, and if it looks like it is right now, I know it'll be nice to be outside and study the Bible together. And so we're thankful for that. And also on Wednesday night, we're doing Zoom classes as well. If you have any difficulties with that, just let me know, and I can help you log into that and get to those classes. It's not difficult at all. What I really wondered was whether or not I'd need to move the pulpit and bring the round table up here that I've been preaching behind and a chair to sit down. What I also wondered was whether or not I could tie a tie this morning. And I tied the tie, I put the tie on, put a jacket on. The pulpit is still here, and I'm going to preach. And I'm thankful to be able to stand up here once again. You don't know how much I have missed it. And I truly have. David said, "I was glad when they said, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" Probably an understatement, no matter when or what might have been going on. For us, certainly, I would say that we could probably say this, right? I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord," right? That we could come back together, we could assemble in this way. I want you to notice with me Psalm 84 before we get to this passage in Psalm 122. In Psalm 84, beginning in verse 1, I want us to notice the joy and the pleasure that David found when he came unto the house of the Lord. When that was in prospect, when that was possible, when the ability to do so was before him, he says this, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh are crying out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." And then if you drop down to verse 10, it says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Notice David's pleasure and rejoicing that he had from simply the prospect of coming into the house of the Lord. What that meant for him. How he could, in fact, come to worship God. That was made available to him. And of course, in David's time, we know the physical house of the Lord was the tabernacle. It was in its place at that time. And so we're thinking about the physical tabernacle during David's days. You know, much has been stated over the past 2 months when all of this started happening, and even still some over the past couple of weeks. I've heard comments about not being in a physical building, and yet the Eastside Church has continued to worship God every Lord's Day. And we have done so through Christ, and we have done so at the Spirit's revelation for mankind, according to God's will. That has not stopped us. This pandemic has not stopped us from worshiping God. It has stopped us from meeting together in a building. And while Eastside has met in their homes over the past 2 months, we have worshiped with our faithful brethren worldwide. You know, it may be that some people, you know, sometimes what we have done, we have thought so much, and maybe rightly so, we talk about the local congregation. Why? Because that's where we're members. That's where we do assemble together. And so we focus a great deal on the work of the local congregation. But isn't it a blessing when you're able to also see the universal church in its work. And that's hopefully what we have been able to notice, is the universal sense of the church worldwide. Faithful brethren meeting together, assembling and worshiping Jehovah God. What a blessing it is. And truly it has been a blessing for us to be able to have even the technology to be able to do so. But truly, the house of the Lord is beyond brick and mortar, isn't it? Because when we talk about the house of the Lord in the Christian age, we're talking about us. We're talking about souls saved unto God who are able to come before God and worship. The church, in other words, is the house of the Lord, not brick and mortar. Many of our families are still home, and we miss them and miss you and hope that they're able to worship with us and to follow along. And I hope that even today, that when those brethren are able to watch this later, that they will be able to see some of what's going on and realize that they too will be able to be here soon, hopefully, and that we can all be together once again. And what a blessing it will be, right? How wonderful will that be when all the family is together? And it should make us long for heaven that much more, right? When all this is behind us and we can all be together as the family of God, as the house of the Lord, worshiping every day Jehovah God. It is God's will for us to worship. It is God's will for us to worship on His day. And Hebrews reminds us, Hebrews 10, verse 23 and 24, that we're reminded to provoke and to encourage one another unto love and the good works. And so our assembling hopefully has done that for us already, even this morning. But I want to now turn our attention to David's words. I was glad when they said, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." And I want us to notice in the first place, the call to worship. That call to worship, as David says, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." Why worship? I would say, number one, because it is the natural and necessary thing for man to do. It is natural. It is within us. It's a natural thing for us to worship. We are worshiping creatures, you might say, with religious instincts, you might say. And throughout man's history, that has been able to be seen. That's been recorded for us. Man has worshipped. The word anthropos literally means the upward-looking one. So we're talking about mankind. We're talking about the upward-looking one. It's within our name. As human beings, to look up and to worship. The word worship is found 190 times in the Bible, and in these passages, it's more than just a command to worship God. You could go and you could look at the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20. You could go and you could look at numerous of these passages, these 190 verses, and what you're going to find is that it's more than just a command to worship God and Him alone. And hopefully you picked up on that last phrase. You remember Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 10, when He's tempted by Satan. Jesus had said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only. Him only shall you serve." Well, see, it's more than just a command to worship God. It is a command and it is a direction from God for God to be the true object of man's worship. And so David gives us the call to worship, if you will. I was glad when they said, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." When John fell at the feet of the angel in Revelation 19 and also again in Revelation 22, the angel says, "See that you do this not. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus," he goes on to say. And then he turns and says, "Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy," Revelation 19 and verse 10. And it's stated similarly again in Revelation 22. And so the angel's saying, don't worship me, turn your attention and focus on God. Worship Him. and him only shall you serve. That's the idea. That's why worship, but it's also more than just realizing that, yes, man has this innate ability to want to worship, to desire to worship, being the upward-looking one, but it is also the case that God has, yes, commanded us to worship Him, but desires that we would only worship Him, that He would be the true object of our worship, because man is a worshiping creature. Number two, notice in our passage the place of worship. Again, in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." You have the dedication of the temple. You see, I mentioned this passage and talking about in David's time, there's still the tabernacle. And of course, David wanted to build a more permanent structure that the worship of the Lord could be done and it would be more pleasing maybe somehow because it was more permanent rather than this temporary tent that could be taken and moved to another location. This would be the location, the place of worship in David's time. That's what he wanted. But God said, "No, I'm not going to let you build it, but your son Solomon, he can build it." Solomon prayed these words at the dedication of the temple. "Behold, heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built." I want you to realize that even Solomon, and I think even David had this, certainly this realization that worshiping God was beyond just the borders of the tent, so to speak. And for Solomon, the permanent structure, the temple was in place, and it was going to be beyond that. How much less could the temple really contain God? Well, it couldn't. He's asking a rhetorical question. He knows that. Heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you, he says. Certainly true in the Jewish age, but how much more so today in the Christian dispensation? When we realize that it's not a location in Jerusalem at the temple and the Levitical priesthood having to officiate, but rather we are that royal priesthood as Christians, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, and that we can offer spiritual sacrifices unto God, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, and that when we come together as the body of Christ, as the household of God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, that we are in fact the temple of God, the habitation of the Spirit, Ephesians 2 and verse 22. Paul wrote this, he says, "Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners or pilgrims," he says, "but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Then he says, "in whom the whole building, fitly framed together, grows unto an holy temple unto the Lord, in whom," he says, "you are built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Again, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, he says, "but if I'm delayed," he says, "I'm writing this so that you know how to conduct yourself, how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church," he says, "of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." I also mentioned Peter's comment, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, "You as living stones are built up a spiritual house, holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So wherever Christians assemble then for a divine worship service, God dwells therein, the place of worship. In fact, the Apostle Paul would remind those in Acts 17, when he's preaching from Mars Hill, when he's preaching from the hill of Areopagus, and he says that God no longer dwells in temples made with human hands, but rather dwelling in the heart of mankind who is faithfully serving Him as His child. Let's notice then the last thought, the spirit of worship. He said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. He was rejoicing. This brought joy to the heart of David, and David longed to enter into the courts with thanksgiving, with singing, with praise. In fact, David writes it in a way that he is sure of this one thing, to enter into the house of the Lord. That was his one desire. That's what he wanted above anything else. God is omnipresent. I mean, he's everywhere present. And that's why no building made with brick and mortar can contain him. There's nowhere that we can flee from the presence of the Lord. Jonah learned that, right? You look at the prophet Jonah. David also would write this in Psalm 139, understood that. But what we see from the other side of those passages is the reminder that we should not be fleeing from God, but rather fleeing unto God. And David said, I'm glad to do so. I want to do so. Our worship assembly helps us to draw near unto God. James 4 reminds us in verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near unto you. This helps us, the spirit of worship, being glad to come to worship and to be able to worship. And sometimes, maybe not this Lord's Day, but sometimes I know that it is difficult to be here. There are things that are going on and things that are causing us to maybe not want to be focused on the Lord. Other things have taken away maybe our focus and our desire, and maybe even health-wise, the ability to be here. But we need to realize that when we come together, it helps us to draw near unto God. Because worship is made, created by God, for the Christian, for His children through the ages, under whatever age they've lived under, whatever dispensation, whatever law they've lived under. He has made worship for His children to praise Him, to thank Him, and to draw near unto Him. The true spirit of worship then demands reverence. It demands an awe unto God. And the psalmist says this, Psalm 89:7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. That is, to be held in reverence by all those around Him. The Hebrews author wrote, therefore, since we receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with, he says, reverence and godly fear. We follow the example of the first century church. We follow those commands given in the new covenant in order that we might be pleasing in our worship, that we might do those things, that we might pray, that we might sing, that we might preach, that we might give of our means, that we might partake in the communion and the Lord's Supper, that we might do those things. Why? To draw near unto God and to remind us of exactly who we are before God. Those things have the potential, when they're done properly, with the right spirit, with the right mindset, to cause us to be closer to God, because we will understand who we truly are in the sight of God. The reason? We'll go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. The psalmist says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth unto all generations. Let's have the kind of spirit that King David did when he said, I was glad when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Let us never forsake the Lord, nor His church, nor His people, nor His worship of His people, nor of the sheep of His pasture. Let us realize as a body and as a family and as the house of God that we have a responsibility to God and a responsibility to one another. And therefore, we serve one another. We love one another. And we reach out and care for and protect and show compassion to one another. May we also realize our purpose in this life goes outside of those doors as well, into our local community, where we have the opportunity to show the rest of the world what God's people truly look like, even under those masks. What we truly are from our hearts, from a heart that loves, from a heart that shows compassion to one another, from a heart that shows care and concern, and that would serve, and that would teach, and that would help. Let us know also that the church is a place of safety, a place of salvation, a place of security. And in that, may we obey the gospel, believing Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of sin, confessing our faith in Christ, being baptized to become one of His, have our sins washed away to be added to the church, Acts 2:47. And then continuing to walk faithfully every day of our lives and looking forward to those opportunities when we can come to the house of the Lord, where we can assemble together, where we can worship together. I hope that you have been encouraged today by being here. And I hope that you have been encouraged in a way that has caused you to look within and to see where you are in your spiritual walk. If you need to take necessary steps to obey the gospel to have your sins washed away, or if you need to come back to be forgiven of sins that are in your past, leave those things in the past, have those things washed away, and you can pray, and we'll pray with you, we'll encourage you. If there is a way that we can help, if you have a need, come to the front while we stand and while we sing.